I wanted to talk about prayer. And so I entitled my sermon today, Prayer as a Second Language. I'm not sure if you've approached prayer from this perspective before, but just bear with me and you'll see what I'm talking about here. Now, we all speak our mother tongue, right? And we learn it as we grow up. In the family and friends, it's just your mother tongue. You learn as you speak it, all right? But some of us speak other languages as well. Most of us that come to this country from, everywhere else in the world, we have to learn English. And now, do you know what is the record for most languages fluently spoken by one person? Just take a guess. 14 or more? 42. Fluently speaking, all right? Not just a few words here and there. Fluently, that's the World Guinness record. And by the way, this is a Canadian guy. He lives in White Rock, B.C. His name is Paul Janulis. He's originally, his family's from Europe, mother's from Poland, I think, and dad is from Lithuania. But he moved here when he was, before he was born. He was born here in Canada. So he speaks fluently 42 languages. And they tested him before they put him in the record books. That's amazing, isn't it? He was learning 2 to 3 languages a year in his 20s and 30s. That is dedication. That is effort. And so, now, a lot of us are immigrants here. I want to see, raise your hand if you're an immigrant, came here to Canada from another country. Well, that's pretty much the whole church. Sorry, how many of you Canadian born here? Oh, there is a few of you too, all right. That tells you about Canada and about our church. I love this multicultural feel, don't you? That's how heaven is going to be like, So knowing a language is vital, and sometimes it can become a life and death issue. For example, if you go to a different country and you don't speak the language of that country, and maybe there are some warning signs warning you of a danger, and you don't understand that language, you would be in danger, right? So it's vital to understand the language. Now, for our spiritual survival, most of you, when you came to this country, some of you have done this ESL, English as Second Language, right? Some of you remember that. But for our purposes today, for our sermon, we are going to talk about PSL, Prayer as Second Language, and learn the language of prayer. And we are going to look at it, how we can learn that language. Now, we go back to our scripture reading today, okay? And there we see right from the beginning in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, one of the disciples asked Jesus, and what was his question? Teach us to pray. That was his request. Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Sometimes we miss the second part. John was teaching his disciples as well, not just Jesus. John did that as well. So he says, teach us to pray. Now, the question I have for you, if the disciples had to learn how to pray, don't we need to learn how to pray? They were for 3.5 years with Jesus and still needed to learn how to pray. Now, prayer is not learned in a classroom, but in a school of relationship. That's what prayer is all about. It's relational. Listen, relationship requires what? Communication. Now, I don't know, I've known some couples that have married and they don't speak the same language, and there is a lot of trouble to understand each other. That's the basic things of a relationship. You need to communicate, and if you don't speak the same language, because in order to communicate, you need to speak the same language. And so, today it's easy. You have Google Translate or many other apps. And so, but back 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, you didn't have those apps. And so you had to learn the language in order to communicate. Ellen White reminds us in Steps to Christ, page 93, and she says this very short thing. She says, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as what? As a friend. That's why it's relational. Notice, she does not say that prayer is a speech. She does not say prayer is a performance, because a lot of people treat it as that. She does not say prayer is a theological exam. It's not. She says it's just talking to God as to a friend, like you're talking to a friend. You know, friends don't grade grammar. I don't think they do. Friends listen to meaning, what you mean, and they listen to your heart. So that's very important to remember when you approach God in prayer, that when you pray, you approach Him as your friend and speak to Him as your friend. We read in Philippians 3, verse 20, this is my favorite verse in the Bible, Philippians 3, verse 20, and that's just the first part. And Apostle Paul says that, for our citizenship is where? In heaven. So here on earth, we are just landed immigrants, so to speak, right? It's temporary residency here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, when you become a citizen of a certain country, you learn the language of that country, right? That's what you do. At least you should. You should. When you come to a new country, I believe, maybe some of you disagree, you should integrate into that country. Having said that, today people don't see it that way anymore. And when people come to Canada, they don't try to integrate. And one of the most important aspects of integration is to learn the language of that country so you can communicate with everyone around you. I believe that prayer is the language of heaven, amen? That's the language of heaven. So when we become the citizens of heaven, which we are, because Apostle Paul says we are the citizens of heaven, then we need to learn the language of heaven. There is no way around this. So let's look at what it takes to learn the language of heaven, all right? What does it take to learn the language of heaven, the language of prayer? I'm going to put a few things on the screen, four things. And, you know, when you learn any language, some people learn them differently, but if you want to truly learn a language, this is where you start. Where do you start by learning a language? You start from the ABCs, the alphabet, isn't it? It's the basics. You start from the basics, and the basics of each language is what? It's the alphabet, it's the ABCs. That's how you learn. Now, do you know the ABCs of prayer? Ask, believe, claim. That's the ABCs of prayer. You must learn these simple principles to begin with. Ask, believe, claim. Now, we first need to ask, the Bible says, and Jesus is telling us the same in Matthew 7, verse 7, to ask. What is asking? Asking is an expression of humility and dependence. It means you can't do it on your own. You depend on someone else. Sometimes people don't like to ask because they're ashamed to ask for help. And so when you ask God, it means you're depending completely on Him and you come to Him in humility. You acknowledge the need for God when you come to Him. That's why a lot of people say, well, why asking if God already knows what I need? That's exactly the point, because He wants you to acknowledge that need. He wants you to come before Him in humility. But we must be careful that our boldness does not become obnoxious. Sometimes we are too obnoxious in asking for things from God. Many times, instead of praying and asking God to do something to us as a favor, we become very demanding, like God owes us things. Have you done that in prayer? We can cross that line of boldness to being obnoxious in prayer very, very easily. You are addressing God like He owes that to you. God doesn't owe us anything, but He does it to us, and He gives it to us no matter what. And so we have to approach in humility. not like demanding. Be careful not to cross the line. So first, we need to ask in prayer, and Jesus said that he'll give it to us. Second, it's we need to believe. We must believe. To ask about without believing, it empties prayer of its power. Belief gives prayer its foundation because we ask in faith, all right? That's why we do. Faith anchors prayer in hope, even when answers are delayed or look different than we expected. Have you ever gotten an answer that looked different than you expected? Absolutely. That's why we can accept that only by faith. That's why belief or faith is important when we ask, because faith anchors our prayer, all right? So, and the third one is we must claim. Claiming says, Lord, you have spoken in your word, and I trust that you will do what you have promised. Have you done that before? Have you claimed God's promises from the Bible? It's very important because he tells us to do so. Claim the promises that he already spoke in his word. Claiming affirms trust in God's timing and purpose. That's what you do when you claim his promises. Some of you might wonder what is the difference between asking and claiming. Well, just a short answer is this. We ask for what we need, but we claim what God has already promised. That's the difference. We ask for what we need, but we claim for what God has already promised to us. Now, there was a boy was praying by himself in his room one night. All right? And as his father passed his door, he heard the boy praying over and over, again and again, and he said, Tokyo, 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 in his prayer. Of course, as a father, you would wonder, what is he doing? All right? And so he went next day and asked the boy, what were you doing? Why were you praying about Tokyo? And the boy replied that he had given a wrong answer on a test for the capital of Mexico, and he was praying that God would make Tokyo the capital of Mexico. You know, I think the boy was a little confused about the concept of prayer, wasn't he? But it seems that a lot of us are confused as well. It's not just him. We do the same thing when we pray. We want God to adjust to us rather than our seeking what God wants and adjusting to him. We want God always to adjust to us in prayer. You do this for me, you do this for me, Lord. Adjusting to God's will is what asking, believing, and claiming is all about. It teaches you to allow God to be God and just trust him no matter what. So the first thing you do when you learn a language, you learn the basics, the ABCs. Second thing when you learn the language is learning the vocabulary. Boy, when I was starting to learn English, I had to take, well, you didn't have a phone before, a computer. You know, remember those dictionaries we used to have walking around, the little pocket dictionaries? Some of you remember that. And I used to memorize 10 words or 15 words a day, right? And it helps memorizing the vocabulary. Another way to get the vocabulary is to start reading in that language. Even though you don't understand, you start reading and to learn the vocabulary. And that's how most of us have done it, you know. So learning the vocabulary. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray, they acknowledged that they did not have enough vocabulary to express themselves. They said, we need to learn. We need to know how to express ourselves in prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a very rich source for learning the vocabulary of prayer, offering words and phrases that carry deep spiritual meaning, and those can guide the way we communicate with God. So, we have to remember one thing, because I see that some people have a misunderstanding about the Lord's Prayer. Some people think that this is the only way to pray, and we always have to recite this prayer over and over again and to use exact the same words, otherwise it's not a good prayer. Maybe you heard people saying that. Now, I want you to remember one simple thing. This is a model prayer, all right? And these are not the only words that we can use in our vocabulary of prayer. We must always expand our vocabulary, amen? We have to expand on the vocabulary. When Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, he wasn't giving them a magic formula of prayer. He did not give them a script, but a pattern. He was giving them a framework how to pray, all right? So I want you to remember that. Ellen White actually explains it very clearly. She says in Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 103, the Lord's Prayer was giving as what? As a pattern. Not that it should be repeated as a form, but as an illustration of what prayer should be. Very simple, very clear. It's just a pattern. It's a model, so we just use that model and then we pray on our own, in our own prayers. So, let's see what the prayer begins with. Learning the vocabulary of the Lord's Prayer that can help us to learn the vocabulary of prayer in general. The prayer begins with what? Our Father. So what does that mean? Our Father introduces the vocabulary of a relationship and intimacy with God. That's what this vocabulary is. Relationship vocabulary. Addressing God as Father emphasizes trust and dependence and familial closeness, intimacy with God. Vocabulary of intimacy. You can use many different other words. So when you start your prayer, it doesn't mean if you don't say our Father, that's it, the whole prayer is wrong. All right? Make sure that you understand that. But we need to start this addressing God as in a relationship. All right? Now, we have the words like what? Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? It teaches us the vocabulary of adoration and reverence, acknowledging God's holiness and authority. That's what it teaches us. Hallowed be your name. That's why I was talking today in our statements about reverence and respect for God, because we pray about this. Next one, we have your kingdom come, your will be done. This introduces the language of submission and the language of hope. Your kingdom come, your will be done talks about the language vocabulary of submission and trust in God. It expresses trust in God's plans beyond our understanding. Your will be done. You say to God, Lord, I might not understand what's going on in my life, but I trust you. I trust your will. Sometimes it goes beyond your understanding. Actually, many times it goes beyond your understanding. The Lord's Prayer also includes the vocabulary of petition and need when we say, give us this day our daily bread. It's the vocabulary of need and petition. Also, we talk about the vocabulary and the words of forgiveness. Forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And then we have one last phrase. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a vocabulary of protection and guidance and spiritual struggle with temptation that we all face today. We all face struggle with temptation, and here we pray and use those words and learn the vocabulary how to ask God to protect us during those trials and during the temptation. Now, I talked a little bit about this, but I want to ask you a question. Have you ever used Google Translate for things? You have, right? So if you know a few languages, you know that Google Translate is not very accurate. I mean, it's getting better and better, but it's not very accurate. And right now, it used to be only about 80% accurate. Man, there'd be some funny things. I can tell you a story with my dad this summer. I'm not going to tell you the word that the AI used, but it's a bad word, you know? So he was at this conference, and I couldn't translate sometimes, and I would put it on the computer to hear and translate into Google Translate. And the preacher said something there, and when we read the word, it was actually a bad word in Russian because they misunderstood, you know. And so you have to be careful with those Google Translate things, you know. And the thing was, it wasn't just my father watching that. It was a few other pastors from Russia. And you should see a look on their faces when they read the words. It was very, very interesting. But anyway, Google Translate, you know, you type a sentence or a text and it sounds beautiful. But then you give it to a person that speaks that tongue, the native tongue, and they're going to start laughing at you because you might, it might be something wrong there, you know? And you know what is interesting? That some of us pray that way. We borrow big spiritual words sometimes. We stack religious phrases that we learn. We sound impressive even to ourselves sometimes. Have you heard that, those impressive prayers? And you almost impressed yourself. Wow, that was an amazing prayer. But we just borrow this vocabulary from somewhere. Even though our vocabulary is important and we need to learn that vocabulary of prayer, heaven is not impressed by our vocabulary. Heaven is not impressed by that. Heaven is moved by sincerity of prayer. I want you to understand that. God would rather hear you say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. Instead of using the whole Genesis to Revelation vocabulary to explain one simple thing, Lord, I'm lost. Simple thing. God prefers broken sentences from the heart over polished speeches from habit. And a lot of our prayers become habitual. We just pray them because it's a habit to pray. So I want you to be careful that prayer is sincere, comes from the heart. We have that, you know, Jesus speaks about this in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. And Jesus tells there a parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector that came to pray at the temple. Remember that parable? And remember, the Pharisee was standing there, and you can see him standing there and being proud of his religion. And what did he pray about? What did he say? God, I thank you that I'm not like that other man. And what did the tax collector say? The Bible says he was beating his chest, and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all. It doesn't take polished words and sophisticated words to use the scriptures and all that. There is place for those prayers as well. I'm not saying there is no place for that. But in moments like this, all that person could say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So my question for you today is this. How do you approach God in prayer? How do you approach your Heavenly Father, your friend, in prayer? Are you just using some words that you learned that sounds so good? Or you just come in sincerity and humility before God and pray to Him? So you need to learn the basics, the ABCs, to learn how to pray. You also need to learn the vocabulary. And for those who have been learning and taking ESL, what's the next point? That what do you need to learn? You need to learn the grammar of the language. This is where the rubber meets the road, when you learn the grammar, because you learn how to connect the words and how the language is, because the whole language is like a system, it's structured like a system. So you have to learn what comes before, what comes next in that system, because sometimes you can hear us immigrants talking and you'll be like, what are those guys saying? Because we mix words, you know, we put them where they not should be. And I see some immigrants are saying, yes, Pastor, yes, we do that. We still, after 20 years, still do that. Just as a language has its grammar, the Lord's Prayer functions as a system, and viewing it this way reveals some very fascinating insights when we look at the Lord's Prayer from the perspective of being as a whole, as a system. You know, it's very interesting to see, because Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer to be recited, it's a pattern to be lived. It shows us the pattern of our life, all right? And when you look, Eugene Peterson says this, prayer is the way we walk with God through the world. It's not just what you say to God, it's your whole life. It's a lifestyle. And a lot of us treat it as just an isolated event here and there instead of treating it as a lifestyle as you walk with the Lord. So when we look at the Lord's Prayer as a system, what do we learn? There are some fascinating things that we learn for our lives, how we can walk with God through our lives. Let me show to you some learning the grammar of the Lord's Prayer. First, as I already mentioned, relationship comes before requests. So we start our prayer with the what words? Our Father. Because that's a relational vocabulary. So a relationship with God comes before requests. How many of us forget that and we start bringing our requests right away instead of, you know, addressing God and building our relationship with Him in prayer? Prayer starts from belonging, not from begging God to do something for us. We approach God as children, not as strangers. That's why you say, "Our Father, I come before you as a child." Now, second, what it teaches us, worship comes before petitions. First, it comes a relationship with God, then it comes our worship. Before a single request is made, the focus is on God because it says, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." Worship is priority in prayer. First comes our relationship with God, second comes our worship to God. All right? Third, the Lord's Prayer, present tense, talks about present tense dependence. You know, when we talk about grammar, we talk about, what part of speech is this and what tense and so on and so forth. You look at all those things. You know what this means? When we say to God, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's today in the present tense. It's dependence on God today. Give us today our daily bread. This teaches us ongoing trust and daily reliance on God, the present tense dependence. Number four, forgiving others comes before being forgiven by God. Did you know that? Remember 2 weeks ago when I preached about communion prayer sermon, I talked about forgiveness. And many of you emailed and talked to me and said, that's something that is needed in our church. It's needed to learn forgiveness. Some people can let go and learn forgiveness. And the Lord's Prayer addresses that thing, and it tells us, it confronts us with the sobering truth that a heart unwilling to forgive others is not prepared to receive the fullness of God's forgiveness. If you still harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you are not ready. You are not prepared to receive God's forgiveness. That's why it says, "Forgive us as we also forgive others." First, you must forgive others before God forgives you. Number five, we find community language throughout the Lord's Prayer. The prayer never says "my" or "me," but always "our," "us," and "we." Did you see that in the Lord's Prayer? It's a community language throughout the prayer. It's very important. This communal grammar reminds us that when we pray, we stand before God not only for ourselves as individuals, but as members of shared body, the body of Christ. We stand before God as members of a community, and we carry one another's needs and burdens and hopes into God's presence. Amen? That's why we need each other. There is a song that says, "I need the prayers of those I love." I need those prayers. You need those prayers. We are a community. You cannot do it on your own. That's why the Lord's Prayer addresses this. It's a community language throughout the Lord's prayers. So that's the grammar of the Lord's Prayer. You know, almost all languages have some original differences in the words they use or accents. Do you know that? Like if you're, even here in Canada, if you're from Newfoundland, don't raise your hands, Newfies, all right? You have a different accent. You use different words and you pronounce them differently. You come from Great Britain, you have different English, you know, from Ireland. The same with any language, you know, Romania the same. It's regional dialects, regional accents, and so on and so forth, you know. You know, and I was thinking about that. Like most of us speak English with an accent, so it is true about prayer. We speak prayer with an accent, with a different dialect. When I came to this church in 2004, I had a heavier accent than these days, all right? And some of you remember that. And I used to mispronounce words, and my youth group would just laugh at me all the time, you know? I was just learning at that time, still learning. And you know, some of us have heavy accents, some, you know, lighter accents and stuff like that. But it's very important when you have those accents. And I believe that we have accents or dialects in prayer as well. But it's important to know that God understands all the accents. He understands all the dialects when you come to him in prayer, okay? Even today, you might have a problem when you call a customer service on the phone, and on the other side of the phone is someone you're thinking, are they speaking English or something else? Have you had those experiences? You know, I had those experiences. And you have a hard time understanding because of their accent or the way they pronounce words and things like that. But let me tell you the good news. With God, that's not a problem. Amen? He understands every accent there is. And so I was looking at this and I was thinking, what type of accent or dialects there could be in prayer? You know, regional things or a small group of people just using that. And I came up with a few. There are many others, but this is what I came up with. Some people pray in the King James accent. Let me put it there. King James English accent. Thee, thou, thine, and so on and so forth. Nothing wrong with that. I said God understands every accent, right? But you know people with this dialect. And when I came to Canada, it was so hard to understand this Shakespearean English and King James. That's why we use, you know, NIV or New King James, because it's easy to understand. There are some words we don't understand. You barely understand English, and then you're trying to understand Shakespearean English, you know, 1611 King James version. So a lot of people use that. There is another accent that is used today, and this is mostly used by the young people, and that's a WhatsApp voice message accent. Lord, you know, yeah, anyway, you heard young people praying that way? You heard that, right? I mean, it's okay. It's the way they approach God. And let's not be judgmental to them about that. Let them express the way they want to express themselves to God, all right? And there is one more. Others pray in the drive-through accent. Short and to the point. Lord, bless this food. Amen. This is a drive-through accent. Quickly, short to the point. Love those prayers. Short and to the point. Now, this is what I'm going to say. I want to say it once again. God understands all of these. Amen? God understands all of this. Having said that, we must exercise careful discernment, choosing prayers that fit the setting and the audience. All right, I'm going to say that because it's very important. What may be heartfelt and necessary in private prayers often does not translate well in public. So you have to be careful with that and use the discernment. That's why I put this out there. What you pray at home, you can do whatever you want. It's between you and God and use whatever language you want. When you pray in public, up front, in church, or in a public setting, it has to be different. Even Ellen White speaks a lot about this. She speaks a lot about what prayers to be prayed in public and what prayers to be prayed in private. Okay, so wisdom in prayer honors both God and those who are listening to us, those around us. So we have to exercise that. Let's finish this. Number four, what takes to learn a language? You need practicing, to practice the language. So you first learn the ABCs, then you learn the vocabulary, you put the grammar together, and then you do what? Practice, practice, practice. That's what, you know, this is the reason I came to Canada. I never intended to stay here, never. I didn't even know you can stay in Canada. I came as a student because I started learning English in Moldova. I learned vocabulary. I learned grammar. But to tie it together, you need to speak it to someone that speaks that language. And so I said, I'm going to come for 2 years to Canada, study, learn English, then go home. And 26 years later, I'm still here. I guess I'm still learning it. Still learning English 26 years later. So practicing is very important. We can, you know, we can know the vocabulary, we can know the grammar, but if you don't practice, you're never going to know the language. And you know what they say? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. So you have to always pray. Prayer must be used, must be practiced. Otherwise, we lose it. The same is with prayer. Just like learning a language, you don't wait to be fluent to speak. You speak to become fluent in that language. That's what you do. As in any language, fluency comes from what? From frequency. You know, some people think that if they speak a language that they're learning for 3 minutes once a week, they will learn that language. It's not going to happen. It has to be frequent. The same is with prayer. Many Christians expect prayer fluency with Sabbath prayers only, or emergency prayers only, or meal prayers only. But that's not going to happen. Frequency, it's important. This is what Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says what? Pray without... That means practice, practice, practice. You're practicing the language of prayer. This doesn't mean that you have to walk around with your eyes closed all the time. That can be dangerous, especially when you drive. But it means that you're in constant awareness. It means maintaining a continuous conversational relationship with God. It means having a prayerful mindset. That's what it means, pray without ceasing. When you learn a second language, you don't speak it perfectly right from the beginning. You make mistakes. You mix words. You mess up grammar. You misuse tenses. But you keep on speaking it, right? You don't give up, because by speaking it, you learn it. And the good news is that God is fluent in the heart language. And when you speak a very broken English and you pray to God, He still understands you. He still understands you. Prayer fluency is not about perfect wording. It's about honest intent. He sees your heart, the sincerity of your heart. Ellen White says this in Steps to Christ, page 96. Through sincere prayer, we are brought into connection with the mind of the infinite. Wow. We are brought in the connection with the mind of infinite. That means when we are so connected with the mind of God, we will become fluent in the language of prayer. We need to be connected to the mind of God. And how do you become connected? By practicing prayer. Through sincere prayer, you get connected to the mind of God. So let me conclude with this. There was a cartoon, and it showed that a little boy was praying, and he was disgruntled in his prayer because he wasn't getting any results to his prayers. And he said to God, he said, Aunt Mary hasn't gotten married yet. Probably he was praying for that. Uncle Dave hasn't any work, and Daddy's hair is still falling out. I'm getting tired of praying for this family without getting any results, he said. Do you feel that sometimes? We all do. Then the caption underneath read something like this. Maybe we need to stop telling God what to fix and start asking Him what He's doing. Think about this. Think about this. Like many of us, this little boy thought prayer was a suggestion box for God. And we may laugh at this, but we might recognize ourselves in this. We pray for the Lord to fix all these problems we have, but God says, I'm working, but not always where you're looking. Prayer is not learning how to manage God. Prayer is learning how to trust God. And that's what prayer is all about. At first, prayer feels like a second language for some of us, but eventually, as you practice it, it becomes your heart language. That's when prayer stops being an activity and becomes a relationship with God. So today I invite you, let us choose today not perfect prayers, but persistent prayers. Amen? Persistent prayers. Like any language, we grow fluent in prayer, not by speaking flawlessly once, but by speaking often with our Lord, letting our hearts learn the rhythm of prayer and vocabulary of prayer. May God bless you. Amen.